Good afternoon and welcome to this very special edition of RSGB Talk, in which has been recorded as part of the Road Safety GB Powered Two-Wheeler Safety event that's being broadcast online between the 8th and the 26th of March. So I'm delighted to welcome three guests with me today. They are Lisa Daniels, Dan Whittle, and Inspector Colin Reed, and we'll talk a bit more about their specific roles in a moment or two, but we're here to talk about the iconic publications of Roadcraft and more specifically motorcycle Roadcraft. So that's the subject for today, and it's a very informal discussion as always, and we'll just get on with it if that's okay. And welcome to all of you. Thanks for joining us today.
Excellent. Nice to be here. Hi.
Good. Can I ask each of you in turn to just introduce yourself and say who you are? Lisa first, please.
Sure, yeah. Hello, everybody. My name is Lisa Daniels. I'm the account director for TSO. You might know us as the Stationery Office, and we're the official publishers for the Police Foundation. And therefore, my relationship is to make sure that our Roadcraft and Motorcycle Roadcraft publications get to market and are available for everybody in the formats that they want and have the most up-to-date information in them for riders.
There's a good sales pitch for the start, Lisa. Well done. That's great. Dan, who are you?
Oh, I'm Dan, obviously, and I'm part of the content development team at TSO. I suppose my job has two main parts. I've got a traditional sort of commissioning role, which basically sees me look for opportunities to develop titles to add to the publisher's list. But I also work on maintaining and updating existing titles. I suppose the bulk of my work has been in the print format, but I'm increasingly involved in digital as more and more content is made available in that format. I was also the content development manager that worked on the new edition of Roadcraft and Motorcycle Roadcraft.
That's great. Thanks. And Colin, finally, last but not least, of course.
Good afternoon, Inspector Colin Reed. I've been a driving instructor, cars and motorcycles for 20 years. My current role is Head of Police Driver Training for Police Scotland. I've got responsibility for the facilitation and delivery of driver training to 24,500 officers and staff throughout Scotland.
Brilliant. That's great. Thanks very much to all of you for that. Just before we go on, Lisa's already touched on this, but could one of you just explain the relationship between TSO and the Police Foundation for anyone that's not clear?
Yeah, I'll try my best here as a start of the turn. So the Police Foundation is an independent charity that researches, understands and works to improve policing. And TSO, the Stationery Office, we are the Police Foundation's official publishing partner. We do their publishing for them. We manage their copyright for them. So we are effectively their publishing arm.
Fabulous. Thanks for that. That's got the formalities out of the way, as it were. Now, before we go forward and look at the current edition, can we just look back a little bit? Would one of you just like to give me a bit of a history as far as the Roadcraft and Motorcycle Roadcraft publications are concerned? Not a detailed history, but a potted history in about a minute or two.
Who's going to be best to take this one?
Well, I mean, I'm happy to talk about that. I mean, my involvement started in the 2013 edition, which was the previous edition to this one. But Roadcraft itself has got a long and distinguished history. I think it was first published actually in 1955.
When I was born.
Yeah. And Motorcycle Roadcraft followed about a decade later in 1965. And since then, I think it's always been a TSO publication, but we've certainly published several editions. And the main sort of feature, I suppose, at the heart of the whole kind of Roadcraft message is the system of car control. And that's been used for over 75 years by police drivers. And it's integral to the book and the advice given in the book. So yeah, it has something of an illustrious history, Roadcraft.
Yes, absolutely. It's a recognised publication, isn't it? As the Bible, if you want, for advanced drivers and riders. But so what's intriguing me is that on the cover of Motorcycle Roadcraft, it describes it as the Police Rider's Handbook. Now, does that mean that your primary audience for the publication is police riders, or is it got a wider? I'm guessing it must have a wider audience than that. And do you think that referring to it as the Police Rider's Handbook might actually deter some people from thinking it's for them?
Okay, so Motorcycle Roadcraft is indeed the official police riders handbook, and it's widely used by other emergency services as well, included within our practitioners group, which we consult with when we're putting together the various updates. We make sure that there's representation there from the other emergency forces as well, so certainly the ambulance and the fire service as well. But also it really is for anybody who wants to improve their riding ability and their riding skills, but it definitely does have that emergency services slant, and I think that's what gives it the sort of the kudos that it has, really.
So what you're saying is
Colin might want to add to that.
Sorry, Colin.
Yeah, I'll stick up here for the police. We did discuss the title of the book at the numerous Roadcraft meetings over the last couple of years, but I think it is right to call it the Police Riders Handbook. Given the volume of people that we train across the UK on an annual basis, no other organisation comes close to the numbers that we produce. And I would like to think that we are setting the standard, we are setting the bar based on the teachings within Roadcraft, and it's for others to try and follow or mirror the standards that we are trying to achieve. And, you know, as Lisa says, we've worked with the ambulance service. We give advice to motorcycle groups, to road safety groups. It doesn't just target police riders. It's for anyone who can sit in a motorcycle, be it as part of their day job or as a hobby. Everyone can take something from the book. They'll all learn something from it. But I think it's right that it's given the Police Riders Handbook title, just to give it that status amongst motorcyclists, because generally motorcyclists look at a police rider as being, well, the ultimate when it comes to how to ride a motorcycle.
So what you're saying really is that rather than trying to position it as a book only for police riders, you're using the credibility of the police riding and the respect they've got to promote it to other riders and encourage them to upskill themselves by picking up a book and reading it. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, okay, yes, we are unique in what we do in that we utilise response, blue lights and sirens, but the crux of Roadcraft and the whole purpose of it is safety. It's position the motorcycle on the road in the right position at the right speed to deal with danger. Now, any motorcyclist or indeed car driver for the car book, they can all learn something from that. So it's right that it should be shared and published far and wide. It's the right thing to do.
So presumably, then the next question that comes from me then is who reads it? I mean, not setting aside the police and emergency services, amongst the ordinary, for want of a better word, riders, who reads it? Has it got a wide readership, or is it confined to hobbyists, or are there people that ride specific types of machine that tend to be more prone to paying and buying it and reading it, or what's the audience for it?
I think as well, when we're talking about actual readership of the content, we actually just need to think about how the Roadcraft and Motorcycle Roadcraft information is published nowadays. And I think that's what's been the most exciting part of being involved in the updates in recent years. So now, if people choose to read the Roadcraft handbook and they prefer learning and engaging with the book, then they can do. But recently we published the Motorcycle Roadcraft and Roadcraft Online, which is a learning platform as well. So it's not just about the handbook, it's also about the e-learning that sits around it as well. I'm sure we'll come to talk about that a little bit later in the podcast. But as to who actually engages with the content, who uses the content, as well as the emergency services training and training organisations out there, it's definitely picked up by lots and lots of different categories of two-wheel riders. We get lots and lots of queries and lots of feedback from members of the motorcycle groups out there. And actually the publication is endorsed by ROSPA and I Am Road Smart. So lots and lots of members of their local groups right across the country. And it also has an international readership as well, particularly in some of the expat countries as well who drive or ride on the left. Worldwide reach. From people who are, you know, just wanting to update their skills, and people who really want to learn about the police way of riding, the expert way of riding. So a little bit of everyone, I'd say.
What about young riders? Would it have an audience amongst young riders?
Yeah, I would say it definitely does. Albeit our primary function is to deliver motorcycle training to police officers, we also do a lot of external visits pre-COVID for road safety groups, motorcycle enthusiast clubs, and you know, we're taking it from one end of the spectrum being 17, 18, 19-year-old new riders who are keen to learn and keen to develop, right up to people in their 60s and 70s who are almost at the end of their motorcycle career, but they're still looking to learn, they're still looking to take on new techniques. And certainly the publication of the new book, we've had a lot of requests since November, December for groups to come into the college to have a presentation to understand what's changed, what's been introduced, how we're taking roadcraft forward with advances in motorcycle technology, electric motorcycles becoming a bit more prevalent in the market. So yeah, I think it does reach all ages. And I say motorcycling is a hobby. People choose to do it for pleasure and they're always looking to be better at it. You're always going to have the people that will never accept it, but that's just human nature. We offer an insight into roadcraft and what the system of motorcycle control can do for you. And I say it goes right from the younger riders right through to the more experienced riders who are all keen to learn.
That's interesting because in my mind, and it's only anecdotal, it's an opinion or anything else, I would have expected the readership to be stronger amongst the born-again riders, the people with big machines coming back to riding in their middle ages, as it were, with disposable income and a real hobby, if you like.
I'd
expected them to have gobbled this up, really. But the younger riders, I wondered whether there might be some resistance to taking the information on board. But from what you're saying, that's not the case.
But what I would say is, irrespective of the background of the people that come in, and include police officers in that as well, everybody's heard about motorcycle roadcraft. Everybody knows the system of motorcycle control that we teach within the police service. You know, it's not a secret, and neither it should be. So everyone is aware of the roadcraft manual. And if you go on a Facebook forum involving motorcyclists, which I frequent quite a few of them, you'll always have a discussion or an argument about roadcraft. Is this right? Is it wrong? And I think that's the right thing to do. It's good that people talk about it. It's good that Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, there's groups out there who are discussing roadcraft and making it more commonly known to maybe the new riders or the born-again rider who's come back to motorcycling after 20 or 30 years and they're looking to improve their skills. And roadcraft's the way to do that.
Yeah, fascinating. So I know that you guys published an updated version late last year, I believe it was. So could you just run us through some of the key features of the new publication, some of the additions and revisions within the latest issue, please?
Yeah, of course, I'll do that. We've repackaged it, obviously, in a new design because that reflects the new colours of Police Foundation. So that's the first thing. Anybody picking up a new copy of the book will know that we've got some new cover photography on there, and the colours and the GD graphic design inside the book has changed a little bit. The text has been revisited to provide clarifications and updates where appropriate. I'd probably say that the changes are most evident we've had all the statistics. As I said before, the last version was published in 2013. That's a few years back now, so we need to check and update statistics. We were helped in that endeavour by three academics, Dr. Gemma Briggs, she's at the Open University, Dr. Julie Gandolfi from Drone Research Limited, and a gentleman called Craig Arnold, who's a forensic collision investigator, Merseyside Police. So they were looking at things like statistics that describe contributory factors to incidents and accidents, you know, to make sure they were up to date. In terms of the actual advice in the book itself, we added some detailed information and diagrams for applying limit point techniques to left-hand bends. The previous editions had largely been concerned with applying the technique to right-hand bends. So there's some additional information in there about that. I'd say the most detailed changes have probably been made to the overtaking chapter, though. That was thoroughly revisited and taken apart and rebuilt from the ground upwards. So it's been restructured to sort of reflect the ascending order of difficulty as students move from understanding concepts around passing stationary vehicles, you know, right up to the more complex three-stage overtakes. And all the manoeuvres have been broken down and explained within the context of the system of motorcycle control and car control. And this there's plenty of supporting diagrams to embed learning. That I would say are the main areas of change. Obviously we've tightened and tweaked things throughout the books, you know, small points, ways of expressing certain pieces of information, but they are the major changes.
So how do you decide what to update? I mean, is there a group, is there a committee of people? Do you do research with readers?
There's a group of reflective practitioners. And that everything's reviewed for quality and relevance on a regular basis. Normally, if it's a new impression that we're doing, we're just looking at making minor tweaks and changes. But this one, we had a number of meetings with the practitioners so we could, you know, work on issues that required more than a change to a sentence here or there. So we have a panel of practitioners drawn from the emergency services. And they're drawn from, as Lisa said at the top of the podcast, they're drawn from a very broad range. You've got members from Ambulance Service, the Metropolitan Police, Police Scotland, obviously, West Midlands Fire and Rescue, that's just a few of them. And again, going back to what you were talking about earlier, when the pitch of the book, who's it for? We also have representatives from the DVSA and IAM as well that come along and give their perspective on things. So you get that sort of wide screen view. It's not just obviously it's primarily about the police, but you've also got input there as well. And the strategic direction of the whole thing is overseen by a standing advisory board, and that's got representatives from Police Foundation, College of Policing, the Met and others. So that's basically how we quality assure it.
Yeah, right. So going back to how many and how wide and what the reach is, and also bringing in the online version as well now that they're available, the online suite of resources, how many copies are sold or viewed or how does it work? I mean, what's your audience for the publication annually?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take this one, if that's okay. So in the year 2020, obviously, it was a bit of a strange year and everything was sort of turned on its head a little bit. But really, actually training emergency services drivers and riders has never, ever been more important. Frontline workers responding to the virus. So we actually had a really, really good year last year in terms of our sales, not only of the new editions of the handbooks, but also increased uptake of the motorcycle online e-learning platform too. So usually we're talking around about 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 copies of the handbook a year. That is supplemented with a few hundred people who choose to purchase the book as an ebook, so for their Kindle or for their iPad, that kind of thing. And we find that the ebook version has got a higher uptake for the motorcyclists as it does the car drivers. So maybe that just shows they're a little bit more tech savvy, perhaps. And then we do have various police and other emergency services right across the country who are using the online platform in their hundreds. And we sell sort of multi-user licenses to those types of organisations. And the uptake of that is increasing nationally month to month as the word spreads. And I think the great thing about the online learning platform and what's been really exciting about working with everybody on that is the fact that some of the updates and some of the more technical maneuvers and there's some of the technical things that can't perhaps be explained, you know, ever so clearly with a series of diagrams. We've actually got some animated video content in there that can go to supplement the advice in the handbooks. So if people do want a blended learning approach, you know, read it in the handbook, watch the video, listen to the commentary, and then answer the quiz questions in the e-learning modules, then if they can complete that, then they can go on to actually get a certificate as well, which is really compelling to people and is certainly embedded as part of the emergency services training programs. The uptake is growing all the time, particularly now we've got the online format in play. And our development partners for that is a company called Drive Smarter Limited, who you may or may not have heard of, and they've been fantastic to work with as part of the online training package.
You ever see a situation where the printed book becomes no longer?
Possibly, yeah, that could happen. I think now the ways which people buy the content and engage with the content. Obviously now the actual bricks and mortar bookshops and that environment is changing, whether city centres and town centres will ever be the same in terms of where people go to shop. That'll unfold before our very eyes in the next year or so. But yeah, it could do. I think there will always be place for the book. There are people who are absolutely wed to buying the updated copy of Roadcraft as and when it comes out, you know, for collecting purposes and making sure they're always up to date. But I think it's more about making sure that there is that blended options available, however people want to engage with the content.
Great. A related question now that relates to this topic, but it's one that fascinates me, and I was asked it not long ago by someone. Is there any evidence that reading Motorcycle Roadcraft or taking advanced rider training actually produces safer riders and reduces collisions and casualties? Now, I know we'd all think it ought to, but is there any factual documented evidence, any research that proves that advanced training, advanced information of any sort produces safer riders and reduces collisions and casualties? I'm asking, it's a bit of not a trick question, but I haven't been able to find the answer out myself. And I just wondered whether any of you guys were aware of anything, that any research that had been done to prove that advanced training as such produces safer riders and reduces collisions and casualties.
I haven't got anything to my fingertips.
No. Colin?
No. What I would say is...
It's an area where I think there is a requirement for research, possibly.
Yeah, and you know, I would like to think that by definition, by providing an advanced level of training, the knock-on effect is going to be safer motorcyclists with a reduced rate. On a police perspective, certainly on Police Scotland, what I will say is, and I'm hopefully not tempting fate here, with the level of training that we output over the course of a 12-month period, and you look at the number of crashes from low-level a motorcycle falling over from its side stand to anything a bit more serious, we are in single figures. And if you bear in mind, we have probably over 100 operational police motorcyclists covering tens of thousands of miles a year, and we don't stop riding unless you've got 4 or 5 inches of snow. Where we ride every month of the year, every year without fail. We cover some high-profile public engagements, we cover royalty visits, we're traveling with blue lights and sirens on. The relatively low number of incidents that we have has to be reflective of the training and the investment and the skills that we instill in the officers based on the system of motorcycle control, which, as I said before, it's all about safety.
Yeah, no, I get the point, and I think that it would be difficult to argue against the merits of it, but I do think there's an area where perhaps some research, particularly as we're always asked these days to produce evidence based for what we do, and I think that there is perhaps an area of research that could be done to definitively prove that extra training, for want of a better word, produces safer riders and reduces collisions and casualties. But anyway, that was just I was interested to ask that question. I hope you don't mind me throwing that one in, because it's an area that is of interest to me. Right, before I close it off in a minute or two by asking Lisa to give us the contact details for where people can find out more and where they can buy it, et cetera, is there anything else anyone wants to bring in that I haven't covered off in my discussion?
Dan, do you think we've said enough about the online learning package?
I think we'd probably just say, I mean, you sort of briefly gave us an outline there, Lisa, about it. Yeah, basically, you've got your online version, which is proving to be increasingly popular as people move towards digital solutions, particularly given the type of year that we've just had, face-to-face training so difficult. The online version features all the text and diagrams, of course, from the hard copy, but you've also got the additional resources that we talked about a few minutes ago. So you've got videos that cover concepts such as overtaking, cornering, all those sort of really important ideas that are there in video form, and it runs through all the sort of the key ideas And then people have told us, and customer feedback has been very positive towards this. They've told us, you know, it's sometimes easier to visualize some of these concepts when they're actually unfolding in front of you. And it's made it easier for them to answer questions and actually go away and sort of really get genned up on the topic. So as well as that, you've got some other video resources as well that talk about motorcycle roadcraft. And there are, at the end of each section, sections correspond to the chapters in the book. You have a quiz, which is just designed as a knowledge check, really. And once people get to the end of the book and they've answered all the quiz questions, then they can download a certificate that says that they've actually studied the Roadcraft online course. I mean, that's not a formal endorsement of anything. It's just to say that yes, they've been through that process. They've absorbed the knowledge and they've answered the questions correctly.
Thanks for that, Dan. So finally, Lisa, can you tell us how much it costs and where people can find out more and purchase if they wish to?
Yeah, of course. Okay. The handbooks are £18.99 and you can purchase those from your favourite bookshops or you can come direct to us. We are TSO and our web address is www.tsoshop.co.uk. Obviously, they're also available on the high street, WH Smith's, Waterstones, and online on Amazon if that's your preference. Go to your favourite ebook store to buy a copy of Roadcraft or Motorcycle Roadcraft as an ebook for your device. And if you're interested in the online learning platform, prices start from £25 for a single user license, right the way up to multi-user license packages for organisations, including all emergency services organisations. So if you want to find out more about that, you can find out more on tsoshop.co.uk if you search Roadcraft. And if you've got a specific query, please contact us at roadcraft@tso.co.uk.
Beautifully done. Thank you very much indeed. Well, thank you all of you for your time this afternoon. I think it's been a very interesting chat through the Motorcycle Roadcraft publication. And I'd like to thank you for your time. And I'm sure that the listeners will find it very interesting. And we'll look forward to publishing it as part of the event that starts next week. So speak to you all soon. Bye-bye.
Wonderful. Good luck with it all. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.